Philippians chapter 1, Bench Bibles page 1825, reading the verses 1 through 6. This month we'll overview Philippians, as I said, and in the evenings bring in the Heidelberg Catechism, which I'd like to do, and I'm not sure how that's going to work with two different pastors and whether I can do it in order, but I'm going to this month bring in the catechism. So, Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And then our text, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. These are the very words of God. And in connection with our scripture, also the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9, Catechism in the backs of the blue hymnals, Lord's Day 9, page 16, question and answer 26. Question 26 asks, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty? That's the word we'll focus on. Maker of heaven and earth. Answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and let's get right into it. There's more in the verse than we can deal with, but we'll deal with some things. Being confident, and we'll begin talking about confidence, of this, that he who, and we'll focus on the words he who, he is Almighty God who will do certain things. And then the text refers to a past, present, and future work. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's start with where the verse starts. Being confident of this. Hopefully you are confident in your God of what the rest of the verse will talk about. Let's talk, though, for a few minutes about confidence. Our confidence is, on one level, I suppose, the same thing as our faith. Faith and confidence mean much the same. But confidence is probably a little bit different from faith, too. Faith is trust. And because we have faith or trust in God, therefore, we can also have confidence in God. In other words, confidence is a spiritual feeling that can come out of faith. I'll give you my childhood illustration of faith. Maybe I've done this before. I use it with the young people in the church school classes. I have faith this bench can hold up my weight. I trust it. The bench can hold more than 200 pounds, I weigh less. And therefore, I have full confidence to sit down on that bench, knowing I will not embarrass myself by crashing through the front bench in your church. That's confidence. And our text is talking about confidence not in church benches, which you have, but confidence in God Almighty, which I trust that you have too. Now, the Bible uses other words that are much like confidence. Because we have trust in God, we have conviction in God Almighty and the things God can do in our text, beginning, continuing, and ending a good work in us. Because we have faith, we are persuaded that our God can and will do what he says. And the end of Romans 8 is so beautiful there. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, and so on, can ever separate me from the love of God. Confidence. But let me delve a bit more before going on here. Because we're talking about doctrine tonight, and this is, I think, a rather important point, or at least if we don't get it, we can get confused. The word confidence comes from the Latin cum and fidere. Cum means with, and fidere means faith. Our word faith comes from fidere. Now, on the one hand, there is feeder of faith, which is trust in the person God. Okay? We have another word for faith, a little different background, but that's the word creed. So never forget the old pastor who pointed out to me the importance of both of those words about 40 years ago, the very intelligent Reverend Leonard Verdine. We Christians have feeder of faith, trust in God through Jesus Christ. That's personal. And we also have creeder of faith, which is trust in the facts. The creed. We have then our creeds. Now I want to mention that our confidence is both a confidence in a person, and that certain facts are true, because we can get confused there, and I have church members who are. I'll give you a song that is confused. It's a conglomeration of the good and bad. You've probably heard of it. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed.
What?
No faith in any creed? I dealt with these people 40 years ago. These churches that say no creed but Christ and that sort of thing, they often have the most rigid, unwritten creed you can imagine. It's much more honest to put your creeds in words. But the songwriter writes, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one." That's a creed. I trust the living God is what she means. See, that's why she's all confused. But probably enough is said at this point. Just to sort of summarize it, you can have confidence in a God who is worthy of your confidence. I mean, he's much more reliable than church benches or anything in this world. And your faith in that God needs to rest in the facts the truth about that God. That God is not Muhammad. He's not a God who says, blast Christians to smithereens, see. You need faith in the truth. And that's why we have our creeds and confessions. So, that much is maybe enough said about this. Now, one more thing to add, maybe about faith that results in confidence. The Reformers gave us three words to help us with faith, and I love what they said. They actually said things that cover thousands of pages, but a summary of their teaching about faith is that it's knowledge. That was in contrast to the ignorance of the church of the day. And I'm sad that so often our churches are full of people who are so ignorant. Knowledge doesn't save, God saves, but you need to know the truth. Please, folks, be open to knowledge. Knowledge, and then assent. You give your assent to the truth. And then the most important word, trust. The Latin is fiducia. We get our fiduciaries from trust, see? And if you know God and assent to the truth about God, you can trust God. And trusting God, you can have full confidence in God. That's why I want to begin here with emphasizing that word confident. Now, the apostle who talks about confidence goes on to say that we can place our confidence in someone and in some things that someone is doing. Listen again to the text. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. I'm going to direct your attention to the he who began, maybe more than the beginning, the ongoing work in the end, depending how much time we have, but that he who began is very important. Who is he? God, of course. And not just God, but God Almighty. He is sovereign God, meaning all-powerful God. So, therefore, it's probably a good idea to think a little bit about that name of God or attribute of God we call Almighty. Sometimes theologians try to point to a central attribute of God. Usually they say love, maybe grace. I don't know that we're wise to talk about a central attribute of God so much, but if I had to pick one, I think I'd choose Almighty. That's what the Apostles' Creed chose, because God is Almighty. He can be filled with grace and have a love for us that he acts on and all the rest. But that's not a point to argue about, really. He who begins a good work, continues it, and ends it in you is God Almighty. Now, we have to understand Almighty the right way. A couple minutes on something that may not bother you a lot. It certainly did me with a more intellectual focus, but bear with me if you've never struggled with this. Some people say things like, can God create a rock so big he can't lift it? Or another one, when an unmovable object faces something that can move everything, what's God going to do? Listen to this a minute. I want you to understand God Almighty right. That's what I'm driving at. God is not almighty in the sense of his almightiness is absolute. God is absolute, not his attributes. I'll put that a little more boldly and bluntly, so boldly it may sound even wrong at first. There are some things that even God cannot do. What? God cannot ungod himself, demote himself to be an angel or devil. God cannot make himself into Satan. I don't think that God can make 2 + 2 = 3. And that list could be expanded. Got to be just a little careful when we talk of almightiness. The Hebrew mindset, when it thought of Almighty God, thought of someone who was so all over everything, mighty, that he could even create a universe. Atheistic evolution that imagines nothing created something. Nothing is not almighty. God is. God can create and continuous creation. That's Jonathan Edwards' description of God's providence. We say that God is so almighty, he can create and he can provide. That's a biblical and a Hebrew understanding of almightiness. Now, copied a song here I want you to hear. I was struggling with how to explain God's almightiness once when I was pastor in Sully, Iowa, and they had a singing group there. Terrific group of singers. I always went to their Christmas concert. And one Christmas I sang a song, and I said, that's what the Bible means by God Almighty. Here's the song. Maybe you've heard it. God is bigger. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And there are other stanzas to it too. Now I'd like to add a little bit to that song, because God is not just bigger, he's also better. God is bigger than anything we might encounter in our lives. And he's better than anyone or anything else. He's sinless. So God Almighty, big enough to do everything, will also act in a way that's better for his people. Now, maybe you find that definition helpful, maybe you don't, but I suggest it for you. Now, in Lord's Day 9 of the Catechism, and let me pull that up, we're going to bring in the Catechism here. The question is, what do you believe? What can you trust in and have confidence in? When you say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. See, he's able enough to create a universe. And then answer that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth. We won't quibble with that definition. I'd rather say God out of himself created heaven and earth, but common definition, God created out of nothing. God, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them. See, he's mighty enough to uphold, keep in his hands and rule by his eternal counsel and providence. And then here's your confidence, is my God and Father because of his Son. Because of Christ, his Son. You may be confident, believer. He's your God and Father. And then listen to this language, which is a terrific definition of the confidence our text talks about. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need. Did you hear that? Whatever. Not half, not three quarters, not even 99%. Whatever I need for body and soul, he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. Want to know what confidence in God is? Reread this answer sometime when you have time. Now, let's go back to our text. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, that's past, will carry it on, that's present, to completion. When will that work be completed? Until the day of Jesus Christ, which I take to be death and beyond, all the way to the second coming. Let's spend a little time with the rest of this text. This is a precious text. Suggestion again. You can kind of memorize this text. I'm going through it rather slowly and pedantically, like this morning's text. And take this text with you. Memorize it. Take it with you. But anyway, he who began a good work in you. What did God begin? Well, if you look at the context, you can say that God began the partnership between the Philippians and Paul, whatever that meant. Paul earned his own living by being a tent maker, but when he wrote Philippians, he was in jail, and it sounds like they sent him from their offerings a financial gift and or a food gift. God who began that work will bring it to completion. But I think we got to move deeper than just the partnership that's mentioned. The apostle says in the beginning of Philippians, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, to all the saints, to all the Christians, God's work in us begins with, I suggest, salvation itself. Now, if you say, when did salvation begin? I suppose the answer to that is complex. We could say an eternity past. We could say after sin entered the world. We could say with Jesus Christ's work on the cross and subsequent resurrection. We could say when we were conceived and born and everything God has done in our past. God began a good work in you, Christian, at some time. Think of a story I heard once. It was a meeting, and some Christians were giving testimonies. Some were sudden and dramatic about big changes from bad sin. Then a longtime Christian stood up and testified, from my childhood, my godly parents taught me about God and brought me to church. When I was young, I had to, after some years passed, had to became want to. And then I knew that God had been working a good work in me. Now, I kind of like that. Wise words. We're not going to spend any more time talking about when God began his good work in you. We could argue for anything I've said and probably more. But I'll tell you this. God's good work in you moves from that had to want to. And when you've moved to want to, then God has done a good work in you. Almighty God does it. So, back to the text. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Now, I want you to hear these words tonight rather powerfully. We'll carry it on to completion. God does not fail. You may fail God, then repent and come back to Him. But God does not fail. Now, there's a lot of ways we can express our confidence that God is carrying on the good work He began in us. I chose a couple of hymns tonight that say it the way that hymns say it. Listen again to that song, How Firm a Foundation. It says it so well. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee. See, that's God carrying on His good work. And cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. And when trouble comes your way, listen again. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee. Thy trials to bless and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. And then the next verse maybe says in such beautiful language, I can't improve on it, so I can only quote it. How God continues His good work in you. Almighty God, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. That soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. That's Almighty God's ongoing work in His people. And our text tells you that you may have good confidence in that God and His work in you. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Again, those words, will bring it to completion. We must not pass over them too lightly. Because God is almighty, He's not going to fail at the last minute. I've been to the Christian Reformed Synod a lot. I remember a year when we examined a woman to give approval for her to teach at Calvin Seminary. She said she'd been brought up an Arminian. And every Sunday in their church, the preacher had them chattering with fear. You got to keep on being faithful to God. You might fall away tomorrow. And then she got to wondering if she might fall away when she was ready to die. I didn't grow up in that milieu, so I just listened carefully to what she had to say. I never had that kind of fear. And in contrast to that, my pastor colleague, Neil Planninga, when he was examined to be president of Calvin Seminary, they asked, what would you say to a man who was on his deathbed and said, I don't think I'm going to make it? Neil said, well, if he's been faithful, we don't have to talk about conversion. His faith is being tried, and that happens. Here's what I'd tell him. Never forgot it, because I said this to someone once. Quoted Isaiah 41 about God's omnipotent right hand. If you're so weak that these arms and hands of yours late in life won't hold on to God, God's arm is not weakened and not shortened. God can hold on to you, and you can have confidence in it, because it's God you have your confidence in. See, and that's what Philippians 1:6 means. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. We could say the same thing in terms of our doctrine. We believe in the perseverance of the saints, and sometimes I think the better phrase is preservation of the saints. That gives credit to God, because God preserves, we persevere. You know, my wife canned tomatoes this week, lots of them. The tomatoes are preserved, they're preserves. And germs and so can't get at them. They're canned, they're preserved. And God preserves his work in us. If you want to put it in terms of a slogan, once saved, always saved. Now, it is time to quit, so I will, but have you heard the text and heard it clearly? Will you leave here with the confidence the text recommends, your confidence? It's a very comforting text when you have that confidence. God is bigger, my friend, so big and so good. He's almighty. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the beautiful words. I believe in God the Father, almighty. And the explanation, we can so trust in you and have so much confidence in you, because we have faith, fidera, trust in you, the person of the universe, the God of the universe. And we can also trust the truth of our text. How great you are. Amen.